You're listening to the Ready Set Cloud podcast, a show about trending and difficult topics on serverless and in the cloud. Today, we're talking about globalization. Specifically, we're taking an inside look at the tech boom in Nigeria. I've invited Tobenna on the show to give us the details on how tech is changing everything about Nigeria, from culture to quality of life to government actions. Ready? Set? Let's go. There's no question that tech is booming. It seems like almost every business these days has become some sort of software shop. From gas stations to frozen yogurt stands, everyone has a website, an app, or some sort of loyalty rewards backed by software. This is happening all over the world on every continent. Technology has quickly become a global language of sorts. Here to talk to me today about the growing tech scene in Africa is Tobenna. Tobenna, I finally have you on the show. Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. And let's see how it goes.
Yes, I'm glad we finally were able to make it happen. So you're a senior developer at Serverless Guru based out of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And you've been involved in the tech scene for years, watching it grow really from the front lines. Talk to me a little bit about yourself, how you got started in tech, and how you decided to make the moves you did to eventually make it to Serverless Guru.
So my full name is Tobenna Nwokike. I'm a senior serverless developer at Serverless Guru, and my journey has been very eventful, to say the least. I started fresh out of college 2012. I studied in Turkey, and then I moved back to Nigeria because my dad was on my case to come back to Nigeria. I started off as a junior engineer on the front end. At the time, we didn't have React, or it was there, but it wasn't that popular here. So we did have jQuery, which I'm sure a lot of OGs know about. jQuery was the main guy, and then a lot of vanilla JavaScript at the time. So I did that for a couple of years on the front end, which right now, when I look back, it's really funny because I don't touch front end now. It's like a no-go for me right now. And then after that, I did a lot of mobile development. I already had JavaScript skills, so I stopped to Ionic Framework at the time and worked on mobile apps with Ionic and Cordova. And then I learned native Java. In college, I did a lot of Java. So when I got out of school, I tried to get Java jobs, but people weren't using Java a lot in Nigeria. It was a lot of C# and PHP. And that's what made me actually go into front end, because I didn't want to learn a new language, to be honest. And it was just easier for me to just do HTML, CSS, and JS. But little did I know that it was actually complex. And it was a journey. It's something I really, really appreciate now. Because if not for that experience, I don't think I would have been as open to learning new things as I am now. And that's what has led me to serverless. So back to the mobile time, I did mobile for about 3 years. And then I found my one true love, which is backend engineering. I started doing backend. I started with PHP, funny enough, because at the time, Laravel was really popular in Nigeria. Did a lot of Laravel. And then curiosity, after I went for an event, introduced me to AWS. I tried to build some things on AWS and talk to my employer at the time, and they were having none of it. It was like, the costs are too much. We're in Nigeria. We don't have money, so we're not going to do that. And I tried to do some convincing and do benchmarking, you know, with cost analysis and all of that. And they were like, nope, we're not doing it. And yeah, it slowed me down for a while. But then I just kept being curious. I just wanted to build something on the cloud because I was watching my counterparts abroad talking about AWS and GCP at the time. And I just kept building sample projects, side projects, and all of that. And then I eventually learned about serverless. I used to see serverless, but I actually didn't know what it meant. And one day I'm looking at the source code of, you know, when you visit a website and you go to the console and then you go to the network tab to see what API is calling. I saw like a URL that was pointing to, you know, how the Lambda URLs are. And I saw AWS and I'm looking at URL and it's looking weird. So I decided to look more into it and I saw Lambda. So I started checking out Lambda and then I saw serverless. And then I was like, what the heck is this thing? I started doing a lot of Googling and I was just amazed. I don't need to do all the provisioning. I don't need to set up EC2 instances. All I needed to do was literally write code. Serverless was really, for me, it was eye-opening. It was like, okay, let me try this out. And I set up a free account on AWS and tried it out. And I was able to build like a simple API that called another API. And that was the beginning of the journey for me. And then Ro, who I know he's a serverless hero too right now. And I know he's been on this podcast as well. Posted a job opening for Serverless Guru. And everything just fit what I was looking for. At the time, you know, I was head of technology at a fintech in Nigeria here. And I just felt this is the right move for me. And when I applied, I just felt, you know, that imposter syndrome. I've been building things with serverless. I've basically taken a system that was working, a fintech system, and I've migrated it to serverless, which was really good. But I wasn't thinking I did something really amazing at the time. When I explained my solutions, they were blown away. And that's how I ended up a serverless guru, which is easily the best job I've had in my career.
That's great. It's a really cool story. And I think it's a good way to position us to talk about tech in Nigeria specifically, because you started with doing what everybody's doing, and then you started branching out. And I actually want to set the stage a little bit and just ask more of a foundational question. And do you consider there to be a tech boom in Nigeria right now, or is it just kind of, it is what it is at the moment?
Oh yeah, definitely there's a tech boom. So when I got back in 2012 and what it is now is exponential, because when I got back, there weren't as much people interested in tech as there are now, because at the time there was this thinking that the Nigerian economy or the ecosystem around tech was more like, we're not going to build, we're going to outsource it to say India. At the time, you would go to companies and you try to work with them as a Nigerian engineer and tell you stuff like, yeah, we know you know what you're doing. We'd rather go with the guys that are proven to get things done. It was a bit difficult to get a tech job in Nigeria, not even to talk or, you know, people like us now that are working remotely from Nigeria. Remote work wasn't even heard of at the time. It was like, you would know 1 in 100,000 people had a remote job. But then the switch started happening around 2016. When I went for my master's in the UK and came back, it was a different thing. That's when companies started doing really well. And it just made a lot of people understand that we could build locally and export outside of Nigeria. And then the influx of tech talent started coming through. Another thing that happened, funny enough, that influenced that boom, it's the fact that people got to understand that you don't have to study computer science to work in tech, because a lot of people that work in tech in Nigeria didn't actually study computer science. So it's a situation that enabled the access to information, the fact that people started posting courses on free code camp, places like Udemy, it really enabled the boom in tech. And I don't see it slowing down anytime soon, because a lot of people are, you know, making impact. Not just in Nigeria, but even outside Nigeria with tech.
Absolutely. The world keeps moving faster and faster, and I don't think it's ever going to slow down. It's that rate of change and innovation is only ever going to get faster. So question for you, how are people learning about tech? Like what you and I both know, and many of the listeners of the show also know, when you decide to go serverless, or it doesn't even have to be serverless, really, when you start learning and building modern cloud software, we'll phrase it that way, you're really signing up to be a forever student, because innovations come out all the time. How are people learning about them, keeping up with them, practicing? It's an ongoing effort. It's a consistent ongoing effort. So what are some of the strategies you're seeing over there?
Yeah, so there, I think they can be broken down into two different approaches. So there's the online learning, the self-paced learning or classes online, which are very popular because they are low cost. They're also very accessible and you can do it at your own time, because most of the people that actually go into tech, they have regular jobs. So they want to be able to be flexible around their learning and do it at their own time. So that part really works. People do a lot of learning on YouTube because it's free, and they do a lot of learning on Udemy. So those two platforms, I would say, are the two biggest, mainly because of the low cost and the fact that they can do it at their own time and learn. Then there's the other side of things, which is the in-person side of things. There's a company that really was the pioneer in that. And I would be wrong if I didn't mention them, because they basically shaped the ecosystem in Nigeria, and it's called Andela. So at the time, Andela was taking a lot of people that wanted to learn tech, putting them in a location and basically bootcamp approach, teaching them tech. And these people have gone on to found some of the most amazing companies in Nigeria. And because of that, a lot of other bootcamps popped up. And we found that in places like Lagos, which is the commercial capital of Nigeria, and Abuja, the capital of Nigeria, in places like that, there's a lot of bootcamps that people can go to and learn tech and be placed in jobs. So those two approaches I've seen are the best ways that people learn. We also have a lot of community events that are hosted by even big tech like Google, like Amazon, like Microsoft, host these things, and a lot of people get into tech through those means. So it's a bunch of stuff, but the tech scene is really booming here. I can say that for free.
What's the motivation for it? Are careers in tech high-paying jobs compared to the other things that you have going on over there? Why are people wanting to learn tech?
Yes. So you just asked the question. So tech, I might be biased when I'm saying this, but from what I know, because I've worked in multiple industries, tech actually pays a lot more than a lot of industries. Any job in tech pays more than, you know, a job not in tech in Nigeria. And the other thing is, a lot of people here, the barrier of entry for tech is actually not high. Nigerians are very resilient people. Africans generally are very resilient. And the thing is, what you think might be difficult is not necessarily seen as difficult, because the thing is, we've had to go through a lot of struggle. So as a result, the things that are difficult are not necessarily that difficult. So people are able to get into tech easier than getting to another sector. It's easy for them to learn. It's easy for them to scale. And it's easy for them to also earn outside of Nigeria. So money is a major factor, and the barrier to entry as well. I'll say those two things from my experience.
That's really interesting. And let's talk about the side effects of that. Let's just imagine that the majority of people are going into tech right now and making more money than they ever have before. How is that affecting the economy and the culture of Nigeria now that, assumingly, a lot of people have more money? Are they spending more? Are things getting boosted up as a result, just in general?
Yes. So tech has, I don't have the numbers, but I'm very, very engrossed in tech scene in Nigeria. But tech has contributed a lot to the GDP of Nigeria, because a lot of companies, like we have a bunch of unicorns that have popped out of Nigeria. They are mostly in fintech. But because of that, a lot of people are getting like really good paying jobs. They're able to help their families, because we're very big on family here in Nigeria and in Africa generally. Our family is something that's very core to the way we operate. So it's not just about the person that gets the job. It actually elevates the lives of their families. And because of that, we're seeing a boost in people's quality of living. People are spending more on quality stuff, and they are able to carry their family members along. They're also able to carry their community. So it has had that ripple effect, but it's been very good for the Nigerian economy. In fact, the government actively promote tech because they know that it's brought in a lot of like good to the country monetary-wise, and even for perception purposes as well. The way the people outside of Nigeria and Africa perceive us has changed because of what tech has done.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because I'm really, really interested whenever government gets involved. What are they doing to promote this? Are they offering incentives? What are some of the strategies the government is taking to get more people into tech?
Oh, wow. This is actually a very good question at this very time. So the government has been doing a lot these past few years, especially with the successes of companies like Paystack, which has been acquired by Stripe now, and Flutterwave, which has become like, it's now considered an American company because they've moved operations abroad and all of that. Because of those successes, the government is now more targeted. They've done a lot of programs to upskill people and fund those programs. They've done that with companies like Google, like Microsoft, and recently with AWS in Nigeria. They train people in tech and are able to outsource them for jobs. There's also one that has been done very recently, which I had the privilege of speaking at. It's called the 3MTT project. So 3MTT is an acronym for 3 million tech talent. The government wants to train 3 million people in tech and ensure that they are placed at jobs. And they just started doing that last year. And I had the opportunity of speaking on cloud computing to the new intakes that just went in like last month. This is the federal government I'm talking about now. Now we have the state government. I don't know any state in Nigeria, especially, you know, any prominent state in Nigeria that hasn't had some investment done in tech to get people into tech or to build technical infrastructure that would support the community. So it's something that there's been that ripple effect because of how tech has grown in Nigeria. And it's just amazing to watch, because when I came back to Nigeria, it was like a desert. And now I'm seeing a lot of springs, and it is just beautiful to watch, to be honest.
Very interesting. You said the acronym 3MTT, I believe what it was. And that was a government effort to train 3 million people in tech. Is that a really lofty goal? Is that really ambitious? What is approximately, if you know, the population of Nigeria? And what would be that percentage if 3 million people got trained in tech?
Okay, so the population of people in Nigeria is over 200 million people. But that is the entire population of Nigeria. I don't know how many of those people are between the ages of, let's say, 16 and 40, which is considered the prime age for people to get training here. I don't know how many, but if we did a rough estimate, that would be, let's say, about 10 to 15%. We've never had where the government comes out and says, we're going to train even 100,000 people in tech. We've never had that. But now we're having a situation, the conversation has come up and it's been implemented. There's also a startup bill that has been approved by the government to help support startups in Nigeria. So for us, it's more or less like a lot of things might not be going well, but the tech side of things is something that if you speak to any Nigerian, they're proud of it because of the fact we know that there's efforts being made and we see it. We don't just hear about it. We actually see these things happen. So it's exciting.
So are you seeing a lot of the tech efforts focus primarily on startups, or are you also seeing this in companies that have been around for a while that are trying to upskill or modernize?
The focus has been more on startups by the government because they're trying to get more people into tech. But with companies like, you know, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft here, they focus more on enterprise and they enable. They do a lot of enablements for enterprises, like giving them credit to get them moved over to the cloud and even assigning staff to these guys to ensure that their cloud migration is seamless and they are able to also train the big tech or big enterprise companies in Nigeria. So there's a lot of combination of private sector and the public sector in ensuring that tech grows in Nigeria. And for me, it's just unprecedented this past few years. There's a lot of great news that we've seen.
I just love hearing this so much. It's so cool and really, really exciting. Now let me ask this. You and I both very heavily into serverless. When we're talking about the tech landscape in Nigeria right now, is it focused on serverless or is it just modernizing and getting into the cloud, or is it something else entirely?
I would say this. A lot of the efforts, maybe within the past 6 years, has been on modernization. So a lot of people are moving their things or their projects to the cloud from on-prem or from dedicated hosting, VPS kind of hosting, to like the cloud. AWS and Microsoft leading the charge here. But then a funny thing is, about 3 years ago, whenever I would say serverless, people didn't even want to know what it meant. Whenever they heard serverless, they'll just be like, oh my God, you guys have come with this, your new thing that, you know, is not proven and tested. I don't want to hear about it. Just let me build on my containers and move forward with my life. But then I think 2 years ago, I was speaking with someone and it was amazing how much the switch had happened. A lot of people are actually building things on serverless now. And it's funny that I'm in the ecosystem and I can literally see it happen. I'll speak with some of my friends, like some of the companies, like there's one called Money Points. It's a big fintech company in Nigeria. They do a lot of transactions. And I'm speaking with them and we're trying to troubleshoot. And they're saying, oh, our stuff is serverless. So we have timeouts and we're trying to make sure that it's more event driven. And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, the whole system is serverless. And I'm like, wow. Speaking with a lot of people, startups, when they want to build things now, they're thinking more serverless. They're going more towards serverless. And I asked a few questions and I'm finding out that they're doing that because to them, it's easier to just get started and even build POCs and test their ideas. And even with scaling, the problem before was they didn't really understand how to build systems in a serverless way because they were used to building things on either servers or containers that are on servers. So they didn't really understand that serverless, you have to think in an event-driven manner if you want to build things on serverless. But people are beginning to understand that now, and they're seeing that it saves them time. For startups, it saves them money. I know startups that have run for 6 months on AWS and haven't paid a dime because, again, AWS helps with credits, the startup credits that they give. You can run for 6 months without paying anything. So people are more inclined to serverless. Like you would speak to someone and they'll tell you, oh, this Lambda function, or we're doing something with DynamoDB. And I'm like, wow, this thing is really taking its place here. And it's, for me, it's like a dream come true. It validates my point. And I'm so happy about it. You know,
I love it so much. That's really exciting to hear. So unfortunately, we are at the end of our time, and I could probably talk about this all day. It's just so fascinating and really exciting to hear about how tech is just blowing up over there. But if you could leave somebody with one call to action based on everything that we've said today, what would you say to them?
I would say this. The techs in Africa, watch out, first of all. A lot is coming. I'm so excited. And then for people that are, you know, getting into tech, I'd say it's never too late. You can always get into tech whenever. And the barrier of entry is actually very low if you change your mindset. I've seen a lot of successes over the past few years. And another thing I would say, which I never said at the beginning, is always look for people that are doing what you want to do. Model your career according to their path. Put your own twist to it. And the sky is basically your limit. That happened with me. Alan, this is not a shameless plug. I'm saying this to you because I know I've said it to you before, but I have to say it on your podcast before it ends. The fact that I watched your AWS, This Is My Architecture, is one of the defining moments of my career. And that came from me just looking up to people that are doing what I would like to do. I watched your This Is My Architecture, and that really changed my approach on how to go about doing things. So I wanted to say thank you to you as part of my closing remarks. Thank you so much for all you do for the community. I am a testament to what you do. So if you ever doubt yourself any day, just remember that there's one guy in Nigeria and Africa that watched you and is doing what he wants to do with his life and is very happy doing it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I just don't even know what to say to that. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm very, very, very happy that I could help you in the way that I did.
Thank you.
I kind of at a loss for words here to close it off, but if anybody wants to reach out to you for help, for where to get started, just questions in general, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Oh yeah. So I'm very active on LinkedIn. So my first name, Tobenna, my surname, which is very difficult to spell, but it's N-W-O-K-I-K-E. You just search for me by name, you find me on LinkedIn. And on Twitter, I'm also very active. You can add me at T-O-B-E-S-K-I. So that's my Twitter handle.
Okay. I'll put both of those in the show notes so people can follow up. So thank you. This has been a fantastic conversation. I'm really highly motivated right now. I just want to go out and build something and share and talk about tech all day long. So thank you. I appreciate the time and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of the Ready, Set, Cloud podcast. Thanks for joining me, and remember to follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. This is Alan Helton, and we're out of here.